You who are baby boomers or baseball fans will know the name Roberto Clemente. He was one of baseball's best all-around right fielders. He had one of the best throwing arms from outfield that's ever played the game. He was referred to as the Great One. He was born in Puerto Rico. In 1934, he became the first Latin American player to be elected into the Baseball Hall of Fame, and he was one of the few players to ever reach 3,000 hits. But beyond being just an outstanding baseball player, Roberto Clemente was also a great humanitarian. He used his newfound wealth from becoming a baseball player to help underprivileged children in his home country of Puerto Rico and also all throughout Central America. One of his most quoted lines, he said, "Anytime you have an opportunity to make a difference in this world and you don't, then you are wasting your time on earth." And he should know, because in the prime of his career, on December 31st of 1972, he was en route to bringing some much-needed supplies to Nicaragua, which had just experienced an earthquake, and that plane crashed and ended his life early. We don't know how much time we have. There's a sign that hangs on one of the walls in the gym that I frequent, and it reads this. It says, "This is your time. Make it count." Now, sometimes in the middle of a workout, when I'm ready to say, "Forget this, I'm going home, it's too early to be up," I look at that and I'm reminded why I'm here. To stay healthy, grow in strength, and to practice discipline of the will, because those things matter in life. But Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength." So it's good to be reminded that this is your time. Make it count. Your parents had their time. Your grandparents had their time and on back. But this, today, is your time. And we're called to make it count. And that's why James says, "For all are like a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes." So make it count is the theme of this portion of the letter to Thessalonians, in Thessalonians, from which we read today. And Paul tells me and you that this is our time. So make it count. Now, how do we do that? Well, he gives us three ways from this short little passage to live disciplined lives so that we make them count. There's three things he says. Don't associate with idle and disruptive people. Become a model for hard work for the Lord yourself. And don't be a busybody, but rather never tire of doing good. So we're going to look at those three individually today, because if this is your time, this is your life, there's the born date and the end date, and the in-between is your time. And we need to make it count. And Paul gives us a little glimpse of what it takes to make that count. So let's look at those individually. Do not associate with idle and disruptive people who follow false teachings, Paul says. Once read that someone said that you are the company that you keep. If you surround yourself with idle and disruptive people, you will take on characteristics of an idle and disruptive people. It's interesting, we tend to take the characteristics of the household that we come out of. Doesn't mean we can't change or that we do change over time. But if you know a person and then you happen to be around their family for a while, you begin to say, "Oh, okay, now I understand this person better," for the good and for the bad. There may be wonderful things going on in the home. You say, "I know where they got that from," or there may be a lot of disruption and whatnot. So we are the company that we keep. And so Paul seems to be telling us, surround yourself not with idle and disruptive people, but instead surround yourself with people who are focused, people who are productive with this time that they have on earth, people who are joyful. And if you do that, Paul suggests that you are positioning yourself to yourself be a focused person and productive with your time and joyful. We learn and we imitate our surroundings. So that's one thing that comes out of this. But Paul also says that there's a correlation between being idle and disruptive. And those two tend to build off of each other, don't they? When people who are bored tend to look for drama, it's like, well, you just get busy and maybe you won't have to look for so much drama, but that's another story. He says, people who are idle and disruptive tend to fall into false teachings. He makes that distinction. He says, if you're not productive for the Lord, if you're not regularly worshiping Him, if you're not reading His Word, if you're not in prayer and meditation, if you're not in fellowship and service to others, if instead you're idle, you get into all kinds of mental trouble. Your mind starts taking you places that you don't want to go. But when you stay busy in the Lord, and busy not in a sense of running around crazy, but staying engaged and focused with the Lord in your relationship with Him. When you do that, your mind tends to stay in the right place and not take you into places that you don't want to go. Because wherever your mind goes, your body soon follows. We know that. We've done that before in our own lives. You will, if you live an idle and disruptive life, you will view things, and you will read things, and you will hear things, and you will see things, and you will begin to absorb those images, and you will begin to absorb those ideas, and they will begin to change how you think. They'll even begin to change how your brain works, and how you think is what you will come to believe, and what you believe is how you will come to act. And your worldview will be influenced. But if you find yourself in these destructive patterns of idleness and disruptiveness and a defeatist worldview and you want to get out, Paul says there is a model that is given to us. And he says this all throughout his letters, and he says that model is Jesus Christ. Paul says, get out of an idle and disruptive life. Instead, follow Christ. Because Christ is the model of what it means to be focused, to be productive with the short time that we have, and to be joyful, even in the midst of suffering. Jesus had 3 years, three good years in His ministry. He knew His time was limited. And so He was focused, He was productive, but in the midst of all that, He was joyful. We always see Jesus in the Gospels. Oftentimes, the Gospels will start and say, as Jesus was passing through. Jesus is on the move. Jesus is going where the need is. Jesus is going where the good news needs to be heard, where healing needs to take place, where a miracle needs to be done, where somebody needs to hear the good news of God's love. So Jesus is always on the move. So in that sense, He's a good model. He's passing through and doing good works. But then we also find Jesus in prayer, don't we? We find Him going, the King James says He went to a desolate place. He went away from the noise for a while, and He prayed, and He recharged, and He made sure that He was in good attunement with his Father. So Jesus is not idle, nor is He disruptive, but instead we see Him focused. We see Him productive with His time, and we see Him joyful. And that model is there for us to imitate. So Paul says, this is your time. Make it count. If you want to make it count, the first thing is do not hang out with idle, disruptive people. That will ruin things for you. Instead, he says, follow the model of Jesus Christ. The next thing he says in this passage that we read, he says, we, each of us then, are called to be models of productive workers for the Lord, being a blessing to others rather than a burden to others. Paul says to the church there at Thessaloniki, he says, this is my translation, he says, we worked our tails off when we were with you. We didn't complain. We didn't ask anything of you. We gave and we gave and we gave so that the good news of Jesus Christ might come to you. And we did this so that we might be a model for you to imitate. Paul gives us the model. Christ is the model. Paul reflects that. Paul says, we showed up and we got to work. We were productive with our lives and we gave and we gave and we gave. And he offers this reminder. He says, those who do not work do not eat. Now, in the last 15 or 20 years, it's become very popular in some Christian circles to say that the early church was a communist or a socialist endeavor. And they base that on Acts chapter 2 when it says all the believers were together and had everything in common, and they sold their property and possessions and gave to anyone in need. So we have that context, but then we also have the context from Paul, who was there in the early church. And Paul makes it clear in his life that if you can work, you should work. And that's true for the church. If you can do work for the Lord, we should be doing work for the Lord in the church. Each of us has a goal. Each of us has a task. Each of us has a calling upon our lives. And the church only works to its full capacity and its full potential when each of us does our work in the church. And we're all called to some task. And with that said, Paul quotes Jesus in Acts chapter 20 as he was leaving his friends to be carried off to Rome. We forget this sometimes, that Paul was executed. Paul was carried off to Rome and eventually executed. The best historians who study it say he was likely decapitated. But before he left, he reminded his friends by quoting Jesus. He says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So with that said, we should all work on our blessing to burden quotient. Our goal in life should to be less and less a burden and more a blessing. Now there are seasons in our life and there are times in our life where we will be a burden to others. But our goal should be to be a blessing to others. Because there are real seasons in our life where we need Christian help. We need the help of our Christian brothers or sisters. But it is easy from a human nature standpoint to want to remain in that camp and to continue to receive the attention and to continue to receive be on the receiving end. But Paul tells us, let's work on our blessing to burden quotient. Let's strive to be a blessing to others. Some of the most inspirational people to me that I know are people who have been going through some very difficult times. I have a friend in particular that comes to mind who's been dealing with some health issues for many, many years. And some things that have been very limiting for his life. But he is the greatest blessing to anyone he comes in contact with, because he's got in that mindset that in spite of my situation, I am going to be a blessing to others. And so Paul reminds us, this is our time. Make it count, and you make it count by desiring and striving to be a blessing to others around you. So Paul says two things so far, doesn't he? He says, if you want to make it count, don't associate with idle and disruptive people. You can spend your whole life with the wrong crowd and you'll just be idle and argumentative and disruptive, and that will be your thing. Instead, he says to be focused and productive and joyful. In the collection of his letters, he says this. And then secondly, as we said, he says, be a blessing to others. Strive to be a blessing to others. Be a model for others. And then finally, he says, mind your own business. Or rather, mind the business of the Lord, but not everyone else's. Rather, we should never tire of doing what is good. Now, this is one of my favorite lines in the New Testament. We hear that some among you are idle and disruptive. They are not busy. They are busybodies. That's just so witty. That's clever. There's a difference. There's a difference between being busy and a busybody. And Paul says if you are a busybody, if you're in everybody else's business, rather than minding your own business and the business of the Lord, you will not make your life count. Oh, you'll know all the juiciest gossip. You'll be the first one to know, and you'll be the first one to tell everyone else. But your own life will not be focused. It will not be productive. It will not be full of joy. Paul says, do not be a busybody. Rather be busy. I don't know if anything turns me off more than a busybody. Somebody who acts interested and compassionate, but really what they want is the 411. They want the lowdown. So that they can spread that juicy news on up and down the line. And they'll add their own spin to it, and their own judgment to it, while they're telling the story. Paul seems to be advising us, don't worry about what I'm doing. Worry about why you were worried about what I am doing. Don't worry about what I'm doing. Worry about why you are worried about what I am doing. If you're a busybody, you're too busy worrying about everybody else's business rather than being about the business of the Lord. A.N. Wilson said, a busybody's work is never done. Besides, everything in life is easier when you don't concern yourself with what everybody else is doing. Your life is a lot easier if you don't concern yourself with everyone else's drama. Now, we are to concern ourselves with others' needs, with their hurts, their troubles, their struggles, their trials. But we are not to be worried about other people's drama. And some of us thrive. That's our business. And business is good. We worry about other people's drama. Not because we want to be compassionate and show interest and help, but because we want to know and we want to judge. So what's the antidote for being a busybody? Paul says this, it's to never tire of doing what is good. Do you know how much good you can do each day if you stop worrying about what everybody else is doing? Think about how much you worried about in the last month about what other people were doing and how much time you could have spent doing good. Doing the right thing, striving for excellence and beauty and love in your life. But something has to happen first before you get to a place of doing good. And that is you have to let go. You have to let go of your desire to control the events of other people's lives. And instead, open your soul to receive God. I want you to carry a mental image with you this week. Carry a mental image with you this week of a sign in front of you that says, this is your time. Make it count. This is the time, this is the life that God has given you. Make it count. How do we make it count? Paul says, minimize your company with idle and disruptive people who have their dark and their cynical and their nihilistic worldviews, and rather keep company with people who are focused on Christ, who are productive and joyful in the Lord. And then he says, become a model laborer for the Lord, whom others can imitate. And he says, do this by working on your blessing to burden quotient, desiring to be more and more a blessing to others. And finally, he says, stop being a busybody and get busy for the Lord by emptying yourself of the desire to control others and their lives and allow Christ to be born in you. This is your life. Make it count. And a year from now, you will wish you had started today. Because today is your time. Now is your time. Don't wait till tomorrow. If Roberto Clemente had waited till January 1st, 1973, he would never have had a chance to provide help to those in Nicaragua. If he had waited to 5 years later, he never would have helped all those children that he helped in his home country over the years. We don't know what tomorrow holds. But we do know that we have now. And so we're to make it count. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for these words from Paul this morning, that we are to make it count, that we are the company that we keep, that as we surround ourselves with idle and disruptive people, that we ourselves become idle and disruptive. Teach us to be focused and productive and joyful in the Lord. Father, also teach us to become models of laboring for the Lord. May we get up. May we get busy for your work. May we see that there was work to be done in our lives, in our families, and in our church, and be on the move. And finally, teach us to be busy but not busybodies, and instead never tire in doing what is good. Thank you for these words from Paul this morning. May they focus our lives, direct our lives. May they strengthen our church. And we pray these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.